Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, 6th day of June, 2022. All right. Got a great show lined up for you. Got a lot of information to get into. Really a deep dive into a number of things. You know, the World Economic Forum, of course. You've heard about them. And just a question. Who in the heck elected them to be governors of the planet? No one. I want to thank the people last night who got together on Patreon. Thank you so very much. They're core supporters. We really appreciate all that you do for this platform. We are under attack, constant attack, in just a number of different ways. And we're also trying to, and we are succeeding in reconstituting what was known as Russ's team under a autonomous initiative, all right, which brings me to an announcement I have and a request I have at the beginning of this show. So please, to those people, please, if you're a listener of the show, if you understand what we do in terms of, you know, outside of behind the microphone, Russ's team, now the autonomous team, of very capable individuals, very good investigators, some of the people I look up to. Russ personally trained them, and I'll tell you what, I would match their investigative skills with mine or anyone else's, and they're just tremendous. I've seen them do a number of things. Right now, they're traveling in different states. I have an announcement / request. So listen up. Because people say, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? Anything we could do to help you advance the war against these human scumbags, these human traffickers, these scumbags who traffic in human and in children. Yes, there is something right now, and I'm asking a favor. Here's the favor. Is any listener out there, and I know we've got a lot of listeners, a lot of viewers, anyone out there, operates a company, engaged in computer forensic analysis. In other words, I give you a hard drive and you analyze it. By court standards, you analyze it. You know, you do it according to court standards, industry regulated and recognized standards. You duplicate the hard drive, and then you analyze the matter on the hard drive. All right. So I'm looking for computer forensic investigators, plural, company that would do this and not charge like $1,000 an hour. Okay. Because frankly, we can't afford it. Okay. The last invoice we got, I've got to tell you. All right. I was looking to. It's like, holy cow, we're going to be eating ramen noodles for like forever, okay? So, but we paid it and it was fine. But we're looking for, again, a computer forensic analyst, it's court certified, that can handle some really nasty content on hard drives, knows what to do in terms of law enforcement, because, you know, obviously, in some cases, law enforcement is aware of this, but they're not necessarily cooperative, okay? Bonus points if that agency, person, company is located in or around the greater Atlanta, Georgia area. Now, what we're trying to do is actually get a couple of these resources available, make them available. And yes, we'll pay for the service, but we have to have a good working relationship. And you've got to understand, whoever if you're listening to this and you're court-certified forensic and computer forensic analyst, you got to understand you're going to be seeing some really bad stuff, okay? And yes, criminal stuff. And yes, I understand the implications on both sides. So I get it. So if you know of someone like that or you are someone like that, please do me a favor. And your fees aren't $1,000 plus an hour, okay? Please send me an email at Doug, that's D-O-U-G, at HagmanReport.com. That's Doug at HagmanReport.com. We have an immediate need, and there's a reason why we're changing. We're not using certain other firms, okay? I'll just say that some people are not who they say they are, or they're playing for the other team. And shame on those people. All right. Eric the Tech, did I cover that okay? Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
All right. Eric the Tech, just off of a great grand birthday celebration. I stood him up at a dinner, and he's not letting me forget it. My wife went, so he's angry. He's an angry Eric the Tech right now at me. No, he's not really angry. He doesn't get angry. The guy's the easiest.
You've got ruler marks all over your back.
The cane. I was caned by Eric the Tech, right?
You can see the numbers.
No. You know what? I appreciate Eric the Tech more than people know. All right. So a number of things taking place right now. You know, June 6, 1944, you talk about a great testament or testament to greatness. The men that stormed the beaches on June 6, 1944, all those years ago, it just brings a tear to one's eye. And you take a look at the people today, the men today. Now, look, I am not indicting. This is not an indictment of all males and all men. No, it's not. But if you look at the military structure today versus what it was in 1944, you'd have to be a fool to think that there's any improvement in our military. I just want to say that General Dwight D. Eisenhower ordered or encouraged Allied soldiers taking part in the D-Day invasion of today. This was in the planning for some time. May 1944, 2,876,000 Allied troops were amassed in southern England. That's the largest armada in history. Please know your history. And that armada was made up of more than 4,000 American, British, and Canadian ships. They laid in wait, and more than 1,200 planes stood ready against this backdrop of uncertainty. The uncertainty of the weather, uncertainty of the conditions, uncertainty of really a lot of things. Disagreements, of course, in strategy. The timing problems. But that was Operation Overlord. And I would urge everyone to, if you're homeschooling your children, please teach your children about Operation Overlord, what it took, the sacrifices that were made. Oh, those so many years ago on this day in 1944. And I want to thank, my father, my uncle, who've long passed, of course, and all of the men who took part in this. And, look, I know that we say all wars are bankers' wars, right? I get that. But when you're fighting in this capacity, you do so without regard to your own safety. And, think about that today. Think about that happening today. Would it even happen today? Could it even happen today? Instead, we've got Mr. Marbles over there in the White House, right? Elected or selected by way of a fraudulent election. Who he's arming the Ukrainians with American military equipment against Russia's warning, saying, look, if we find a missile here in our territory, that says made in America, we are going to respond in kind. And I don't think Americans really get the gravity of this. So that's that, okay? And, of course, you've got the economic problems here in America today. And as I said to the Patreons or patrons last night in the Patreon meeting, look, something is going to happen this summer. I mean, things are already happening, but something more drastic is going to happen this summer. We either are going to have a total economic wipeout, which is going to lay the foundation for this digital ID, digital currency, or there's going to be all-out war because America, as a proxy or using proxy states against Russia, this is the way it's always been or has been for the last number of decades, or there will be some sort of viral outbreak. Now, I want to springboard off of this to one of the most important pieces, I believe, of writing I've ever read. This by Naomi Wolf. It appeared on her Substack account on May 29th. If you go to HagmanReport.com, by the way, on the right-hand side under news articles, it's a big, it's in large font. And what it says, just to be clear, is, Dear friends, sorry to announce a genocide. Now, if you know Naomi Wolf, if you know her history, you know where she comes from, you know that this is kind of surprising, not this necessarily, but it's rather surprising in the larger sense. But I want to go through this extremely carefully, because every word here really is important, okay? And I'm not going to read necessarily from this, but I do want to go over this because I was sent this a whole bunch of times by a whole lot of people. And I read this, I reread this. I even printed copies. I took some to some acquaintances, neighbors, And I had my wife read this, and I had my other family members read this. And this is very sobering because I think this encapsulates what's going on. She begins by apologizing for her silence for some weeks. And then she says, well, the truth is that she's been rendered almost speechless, or the written equivalent thereof, because she had this unenviable task of trying to announce to the world that indeed a genocide, or what she called this baby die-off, is underway. Now, this addresses many things. You realize, folks, that Pfizer, in conjunction with the FDA, they attempted to hide the Pfizer/FDA documents for 75 years. Now, I was talking with a neighbor. And you might think that I have a whole bunch of neighbors and, you know, or that this is all made up. It's not. And I just mentioned about the 75-year moratorium on the documents. And she looked at me she said, what? I said, no, look into it. In fact, I asked her right there to take out her smartphone and to verify what I was saying was true. Now, this woman is a nurse, and she was rather dumbfounded. I never heard this before. And I said, I'm telling you. But okay, let's move on. The reason I mentioned that, though, is you would be surprised, folks, of how many people don't know what's going on. And it's a sad state of affairs. People are not necessarily, you think they're plugged in. Just because you know what's going on and you say, oh, well, this is old news. Don't, please do not think that other people know what you know. We had a great conversation about this, my wife and I. She said, you know, people don't know what you know. And I would say that to you. They don't know what you know. So, you know, people are always saying, well, what can I do about the bigger, in the bigger scheme of things? Tell other people. Now, if they don't want to listen, walk away. Just walk away. If they do want to listen, or if they show any interest, continue. Educate them. This is how we can possibly win. or maybe not. I'm going to be getting into that momentarily. But to spend a little bit of time on this article here, this genocide article by Naomi Wolf, the bottom line is she got on the war room, and this is how we crowdsource this information properly with Steve Bannon. She organized a group of research volunteers, a group of 3,000 highly credentialed doctors, nurses, biostatisticians, medical fraud investigators, lab clinicians, and so on. Not some purple-haired person in their basement, although there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but these are credentialed people. And they went through 55,000 internal Pfizer documents, which the FDA had asked the court to keep under wraps for 75 years. First of all, as an investigator, I have a problem with that. If you want to keep evidence away from me, for 75 minutes, I got a problem with that. All right. By court order, of course, those documents were forcibly disclosed. And the experts that she had amassed, as she said, they're serving humanity by reading through the documents and explaining them in layman's terms. And if you go to dailyclout.io, that's dailyclout.io, you can find all of the volunteers' reports there. But I want to get into a couple of issues here, because this is just beyond the pale. Pfizer and the FDA knew by December of 2020 that mRNA vaccines did not work, they don't work, that they waned in efficacy and presented vaccine failure. One side effect of getting that injection, as they knew 1 month after the mass 2020 rollout, was what? It was the actual SARS-CoV-2 itself. It was COVID. Okay, but it gets so much worse. Pfizer knew in May of 2021 that 35 minors' hearts had been damaged a week after the mRNA injection, but the FDA rolled out the EUA for teens a month later anyway. And parents did not get a press release from the U.S. government about heart harms until August of 21. So May, they roll out this shot, and parents weren't informed about the adverse effects until August. That's June, July, and pretty much all of August. So 90 days, give or take. And this was after thousands of teenagers were given the shot. Pfizer, and again the FDA, and many of the documents in that 55,000 document trove are marked FDA confidential in the lower section of the papers. They knew that contrary to what the highly paid spokesmodels and bought-off physicians were assuring people, the mRNA, the spike protein, the lipid nanoparticles did not stay in the deltoid muscle in the injection site as other vaccines do. No. Within 48 hours, they went into the bloodstream, and from there they went to lodge in the liver and the spleen and adrenals and lymph nodes, and if you're a woman, the ovaries. Pfizer and the FDA knew that Moderna vaccine had 100 micrograms of mRNA. That's 100 micrograms of mRNA, lipid nanoparticles and spike protein. Three flipping times more than 30, three plus times more than the 30 micrograms of the adult Pfizer dose. The company's internal documents show a higher rate of adverse events with the 100 microgram dose. So they stopped experimenting with that amount internally due to its reactogenicity. In other words, the bad stuff. But no one said a word. And let me opine right here. This is why I believe that Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci and Birx and every person in charge, making decisions at the FDA, the NIH, the NIAID, and even some of the outliers like the University of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, should be, in my opinion, after a trial, hanging from the lampposts in Washington, D.C., by their necks until dead. And Pfizer, the Pfizer leaders as well. Pfizer, listen to this. 30 micrograms of the adult Pfizer dose in Moderna. The company's internal documents show a higher rate of adverse events with the 100 microgram dose, so they stopped experimenting with that amount internally, right? As I mentioned before. Then Pfizer skewed the trial subjects so that almost three quarters were female, a gender that is less prone to cardiac damage. But Pfizer lost the records of what became of hundreds of their trial subjects. How convenient. It must be held at different standards, because I know as an investigator, if I lose documents or, you know, whatever. So in the internal trials, there were over 42,000 adverse events and more than 1,200 people died. Now, you know this, okay? You know this, right? You say, this is nothing new. Well, here it is. In their words, not our words, their words. This is undeniable. From 55,000 documents, undeniable. But it gets so much worse. When you look at the adverse events that are tallied up in the internal Pfizer documents, from those reported on the CDC website or announced by the corrupted physicians, and I will say this, if you are a doctor listening to this, a medical doctor listening to this, and you are still pushing this, you have no integrity. As far as I am concerned, in my opinion, you have no integrity, because number one, you are either bought and paid for and are turning a blind eye to this, or number two, you are incredibly stupid. And I don't think you got where you are by being incredibly stupid, so you're complicit. Either way, your integrity is shot. And I've told doctors to their face just that, because I'm getting too old to be pussyfooting around with these morons out there. Little Doogie Howsers that suck off the teat of Pfizer or Moderna or whatever other, you know, company. Look, the side effects about which Pfizer and the FDA knew but you did not include, listen to this, blistering problems, rashes, shingles, and herpetic conditions. Indeed, a range of blistering conditions oddly foreshadowing the symptoms of monkeypox. This, of course, in addition to joint pain, muscle pain, myalgia, essentially, masses of neurological effects, every iteration possible of blood clotting, strokes, hemorrhages, and so on. Many kinds of ruptures of membranes throughout the human body. This is what they made you put in your body. No. This is what you chose to put in your body because of the conditions that they gave you. If you're not pissed off about this, you're not paying attention. And I'm going to tell you right now, in addition to being pissed off, if you are a parent and you didn't do your due diligence and you subjected your child to this and are still subjecting your children to this, then shame on you. You should have your child taken away from you, in my opinion. If you think that this is a be-all, end-all, I had to run to the grocery store the other day, or Sunday, and I went in, and 99.9% of the people, you know, all around, I walk in, and I saw a family, two kids, I mean, two really, really, really young kids wearing cloth masks and the parents wearing cloth masks. I'm thinking, you know what? You just want to say something, but hey, forget it, right? Because let them go. Let them go. But this is much greater in terms of its impact, this paper. So the internal documents show that, that Pfizer and the FDA knew that these red welts and hives were a common reaction to PEG. Now, this is a petroleum-derived allergen in the ingredients of this injecticide that you're not supposed to ingest or take otherwise. It's an allergen, PEG now, is an allergen so severe that many people can go into anaphylactic shock if they are exposed to it. But people with PEG allergy, they were not warned away from the vaccines or even carefully watched by their doctors. No, no, they were left to their own anaphylaxis. How dare you, doctor? How dare you? And you know what? If you're not out there and if you're not taking your doctors to task for this, and if you're not putting up a fight about this and saying, where were you? Look at this. These are 55,000 documents here. This is what these documents show. And if you're not out there making a stink about it, then you know what? I don't know what to tell you because I am. But it gets worse. And it all ties together. And here's, again, you've got to read this, not once, but read it thoroughly a couple of times. Anyone calling this stuff out, of they've been deplatformed, scolded by, you know, Joey Sixplugs, called insane, and of course punished. Athletes, college students, we see dropping dead, collapsing on football and soccer fields. Doctors saying, "Well, I don't know. Gee, I don't know what's causing this." Right? So, but here's something even worse. And this is where the genocide comes in. She writes that it seems that there can indeed be a happenstance genocide. Reproduction itself is targeted, intentionally or not, by the mRNA vaccines. And if you know that reproduction is harmed and babies and fetuses are harmed, and you know that this is at scale, which everyone at Pfizer and the FDA who read these documents knew, and if you don't stop, then does that not ultimately become a genocide? Yes. Yes. When you know and don't say, planned or unplanned, accidental or planned, it's genocide. See, they confirmed, this group of professionals confirmed. This is, again, this is not just somebody talking. Based on the analysis of the documents, that the lipid nanoparticles, the tiny hard fatty casings that contain the mRNA, traverse the amniotic membrane. That means if they enter the fetal environment, of course, or that means that they do enter the fetal environment, of course. They also traverse the blood-brain barrier, which may help explain the post-mRNA vaccine strokes and cognitive issues we're seeing. The very same issue I spoke to a person about yesterday, and I said, read this, and then talk to me about your cloudy issues. Read this. These are in their own words. But here's even worse and more unforgivable. Well, this is all unforgivable, but this is, you know, by orders of magnitude here. Pregnant women, despite the assurances that, hey, this shot is safe and effective for a pregnant woman. You know what that was based on? You ready for this? Grab on, if you're driving, don't hit any bridge abutments. Don't aim for bridge abutments if you're driving and you're listening to this. This safe and effective for pregnant women was based on a study of 44 French rats. I guess they had to be French. Okay. 44 French rats followed for 42 days And guess what? The study of these 44 French rats for 42 days, the study was conducted by scientists who are shareholders or employees of BioNTech. Yeah, nothing to see here, right? And the volunteers found that while pregnant women were excluded from the internal studies and thus from the EUA, on which basis all pregnant women were assured that the vaccine was safe and effective, nonetheless, about 270 women got pregnant during the study. More than 230 of them were lost somehow to history. Whoops. Yeah, we're following 270 women pregnant, but somehow we just, oh, I don't know. We can't find 230 of them. But okay, so we're following now. So we're down, now we got 36 women that we're following. They're pregnant. Well, guess what? Out of 36 women, 28 lost their babies. And they also found that a baby died after nursing from a vaccinated lactating mother and was found to have an inflamed liver. Many babies nursing from vaccinated mothers showed agitation, like me right now. Gastrointestinal distress, like Eric the Tech after a night out at Chipotle, and failure to thrive or to grow, and were inconsolable. The Pfizer documents also show that some of the vaccine mothers had suppressed lactation or could produce no milk at all. And isn't this interesting? What are we seeing right now? Abbott Laboratories, FDA shutting down Abbott Laboratories. You know, the big quasi-nipple airlift by Joey Sixplugs into, you know, a baby formula, right? You think all of this is coincidence? Baloney. And, you know, doctors claim ignorance. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how, you know, I don't think that the Pfizer documents... Or I don't think that the vaccines, vaccinated mothers had suppressed lactation. There's no evidence to support that. No, you hid the friggin' evidence, you moron. Doctors, they're stupefied. And of course, the NIH database has a preprint study making the case that there's negligible amounts of PEG in the breast milk of vaccinated women. Well, it shouldn't be there in the first place. Negligible amounts. So how do you quantify a negligible? It's like saying, well, there's just a negligible amount of arsenic in your bloodstream or cyanide in your bloodstream, right? Yeah, they're trying. Yeah, somebody was trying to poison you, but, you know, didn't quite get it right. So it's just negligent. So we're going to charge that person who put the arsenic or cyanide in, you know, we're going to charge them with a negligible attempted murder. These people need to be held to account. They need to be tried. They need to be tried if found guilty. They need to be publicly hung, executed. That's what I'm telling you. And you might say, well, that's rather harsh. Well, you know what? So is genocide. Because the more you read this, and this goes on, understand that this affects lactating mothers, pregnant women, losing babies. This is genocide. And when you and finish the article, please. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Or go to HagmanReport.com. It's in the big letters on the right-hand side. You can't miss it. But and it goes on to say this, too. As if all that's not horrific enough. Three countries. There are studies from three countries, Canada, Scotland, and now Israel, to show that babies are dying disproportionately during and after 2021 in highly vaccinated countries, and that newborns are dying disproportionately if they have vaccinated mothers versus unvaccinated mothers. What they're saying is this stuff is toxic, and you got these. I'll stop right there, okay? Because otherwise, I'm just not going to. It's just not going to be pretty. And then, of course, you have babies dying, mother's milk discoloring. Oh, there's an account of a mother's milk, green, blue, mother's milk. That's natural, right? Breastfeeding. Then, of course, you have this. You've got You've got the Pfizer CEO, Birla, this past week at the World Economic Forum, pushing, and Pfizer may even receive a U.S. EUA for babies to 5 years old, five-year-olds. This is not by accident. This is genocide. So they're pushing this injection on babies, you know, age 0 to 5, because they already got the 5+, right? So now let's get them all. Let's get them all. If you are not angry at this, if you've turned this off, then you know what? Shame on you. I'd say something else. They're targeting the human fetus. They're targeting it's an unborn baby. It's an unborn child. In one of the most sacred spaces that God has created, and that's the mother's womb. And they know it. All right, I want to move to one other thing real quick here, and because I think this is so, so important. Folks, if you think you're going to vote your way out of the tyranny, you're not. Elections are not going to fix this. Brownstone Institute, this came out on June 4th, 2 days ago. There's an article by Jeffrey Tucker. And, you know, we this past week we've seen Peter Navarro taken and arrested for contempt of a congressional committee, which is illegitimate by its very nature, put in handcuffs, put in leg irons, and Sussman walk free. And you think that elections are going to fix this? It ain't happening. You think we can litigate our way out of this or prosecute our way out of this? It's not going to happen. Brownstone Institute, link in the program description box. Jeffrey Tucker. Americans have limitless faith in democracy. In the early 19th century, of course, Alexis de Tocqueville, his book Democracy in America, rings true today because not much has changed. You know, it's funny because he writes the entire country can be in ruins, and even then, most people figure that it'll all be improved or even solved come November. It's been going on forever, right? As a people, we believe that our elections are what keep people and not the dictators in charge. Oh, keep reading. Because the bottom line here, and I'm going to cut to the bottom line, is elections are not going to fix this. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things in here real quick. The faith, this faith in our elected leaders is belied by the experiences over the last 30 months. Because you've seen this, right? You saw this you saw the fire and brimstone by Jim Jordan and by Rand Paul and everyone else and against Fauci. What has ever become of any of that? What has come from any of that bluster? The elected politicians are nowhere near blameless in what unfolded over the last 30 months. They could have done far more to stop the disasters, whether it be economic or any number of things. Trump could have sent Fauci and Burks packing, perhaps. The Republicans could have voted no on trillions of dollars in spending, and Biden could have renormalized the country, but he chose not to, and I think that's deliberate. Instead, they all went along with what? With what? With advisors from the bureaucracies, the SES, the very people who have de facto ran the country for this entire period for the last 3-4 decades. And if you read Scott Atlas's book, by the way, as linked in this article, you know, you see a very strange picture of how Washington worked in the first year of this, quote, pandemic. Once Trump gave the green light to lockdowns, the permanent bureaucracy had all it needed. In fact, he handed them the keys. That's my opinion there. I'm opining there. But this happened even before Trump approved it. The Department of Health and Human Services had already released its lockdown to its blueprint on March 13th, 2020, a document which had already been weeks in the preparation. And after the March 16th press conference, there was no going back. The deep state was now running the show and still is running the show. You know, you start looking at these people, you look at SES, kind of like tenure with a professor. Trump couldn't fire Fauci, at least not easily, and he was told this repeatedly. That pertains to millions of other employees in this category. He had enemies within. Of course, look, I'm not trying to talk him up, and I'm not blaming him either. This is not the traditional American system that was set in the days of our founding. This is something that has totally grown into this weird monstrosity of an issue. And you can read the history. You can read the Pendleton Act of 1883. You can go through this. It's all in there. It's all in the Brownstone Institute article. I think it gives you a good framework of where we're at. But the message here, number one, you know what? We can work on a local level, and I would urge you to do that with our local politics. You can demand things. You can be an observer. And by the way, by being an observer, that doesn't mean that you're corralled in the pen somewhere. That means you're come hell or high water, you are next to the table that you are observing. Or we have a replay of the Battle of Athens of 1946. There is no middle ground. How many times am I going to say this? There is no and can be no middle ground. We are at war from within. We're at war by these demonic, satanic bastards who have come into this country and who have inbred themselves into these bureaucracies, or who have been born into this country. They are communist, Satanist, contemptible individuals who want to enslave all of us and ultimately kill all of us. You're not going to fix it by voting. I would say, however, don't stop. You're not going to fix it through litigation, because they've got more money than we do. Lawfare is a thing. Ask me how I know. But you got to fight. You got to fight. Holy cow, I'm encroaching on John. Is John with us? John, I'm sorry, man. I guess I went off on a tear there. I had a lot to say, and my apologies. So here's a guy. Now, I was going to start off with showing you a video of him jumping out of a plane. Why? It's a perfectly good plane, but he nonetheless, he had to jump out with a parachute.
Two parachutes.
That's hosted on Facebook. We're not Facebook people, because they don't like us. We don't like them. They won't let us play stuff. And so I can't show it. So maybe.
It's on my website, Doug. Posted just this past Thursday. It's good to be with you, Doug, as always. And your discourse just now was incredibly informative, incredibly important. We'll be living the consequences for decades into the future, 5, 6, 7 decades. Youngsters getting it now could easily live to be 80 or 90 years old and suffering the consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot well into the 22nd century. That's certainly a possibility. Now, I got a follow-up to what you said. It's kind of ironic how this happened. One of my listeners, Doug, in Metro Chicago, Scott, if you're listening, Scott, good morning. Good afternoon. He says, John, there's an app that you need to check out. Now, I got a smartphone, but until 3 or 4 days ago, it had no apps on it. I had no reason to put an app on it. But I followed his instruction, and I put the following app. I asked Eric to make up a banner for us so the listeners and viewers can see it. The name of the app is Find My Bluetooth Device. Find My Bluetooth Device. And I did my own testing in three different locations since then. And when you have that app on your smartphone, Doug, and you're in proximity of a human being who has had the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot, you'll find out that person is transmitting a Bluetooth signal that's picked up by this app. Find My Bluetooth Device.
Okay.
It is really.
If you look on the screen. Works. Okay. So folks listening to this, you can go to Rumble or HagmanReport.com and is this what you're talking about on the screen?
This is there? Exactly what I'm talking
okay.
about.
All right.
Doug, this is so off the charts, crazy science fiction, but it's not science fiction. It is reality. I don't want to mention the places I went because for the following reason. You can't be unvaccinated. Why scare the hell out of people? They can't do anything about it. What's the point?
Well, I have a question right off the bat because people are going to look at this and say, well, you know what, John, you're actually finding the Bluetooth for their smartphones.
No. If there's Bluetooth active on a cell phone on a person, yes, it will pick that up. So you need to determine if the people have a cell phone or not. Obviously you do. It'll also pick up their pacemaker, by the way, which is kind of ironic. So best I can tell now, I'm just at the early stages. I've only had this on my phone now for 3 or 4 days. I believe by the numbers I've seen, the number of Bluetooth numbers that come up, I believe, subject to confirmation, that if you get a COVID vaccination and a booster, it's going to come up as two different Bluetooth signals. It seems to be headed that direction. That's kind of a side note almost. The fact is, according to my personal testing, my personal private testing, if you've got the COVID vaccination and you're near a smartphone with Find My Bluetooth Device on it, the signature of that, it's an alphanumeric signature code, will come up as a Bluetooth device. The human being has in fact become a Bluetooth transmitter.
Okay, now let's take this slow because this is important, all right? On the testing you've done, just to be clear here, on the testing you've done, you found that a person who has received the injection, known as the experimental mutagenic injecticide, whatever, labeled as vaccine, emits a Bluetooth signal.
It's a radio signal.
Okay.
It's a Bluetooth radio signal. That's what it is.
All right.
Now, that brings up a whole set of other questions, which I quite frankly don't have the answer. The first question is, if it can transmit a radio signal, a Bluetooth radio signal, can it receive
a Bluetooth
radio signal?
Uh-huh.
Question number one, I don't know the answer. Question number two, can it receive a Bluetooth signal that can cause harm? I don't know. I do know the following, though, and Doug, I'm sure at this point you've probably viewed the documentary 2000 Mules, haven't you, sir?
A couple of times, yes.
Okay, now... And most of our viewers and listeners have, of course. Now, the combination of the two, the combination of the Bluetooth signal coming from the human being and a cell phone, which can be tracked, which is so heavily documented in 2000 Mules, that gives the ability to track people with great precision, who these people are and where they are. Assuming they've left their home and they have a cell phone with them. Now, there's a third question I don't know the answer yet to also, is how far away can the Bluetooth signal be picked up that the human being is transmitting? I went to a small shopping center and I was shocked at the number of hits. It was something like 3 dozen hits. A small country shopping center in a town of 650 people. They had a supermarket and they got a dollar store And I was there on a Sunday, and everything else was closed. But I got about 36 hits, and I wasn't all that close to very many people. I was close to maybe 5 or 6 people. So that signal must carry a good 50 to 100 plus feet to be picked up. That's certainly the appearance I got from my initial testing.
All right. So, in your investigation, what component of this mutagenic injecticide would create that to happen?
Well, first of all, let's lay some groundwork here. First of all living creatures are electrical in nature, whether it's a puppy dog or a horse or a human being. We're all electrical. We all have a measurable electrical current in us. You do, Doug, I do. Yep. Everybody listening and watching us has an electrical current that can be it can be measured. That electrical current provides the power to generate the Bluetooth signal. And so that power is picked up, apparently. Now, this is still a work in progress. Apparently, the graphene oxide is configured in such a manner that when it receives the power from the human being, the electrical power from the human being, it's able to transmit the Bluetooth signal. Now, that's my evaluation, and I'll be talking to my friend Tom Berryhill about this. He's a highly qualified electrical engineer. He used to be an outside vendor for Boeing, previously McDonnell Douglas, building circuit boards as an outside vendor for Boeing, for F-15s and so forth. Highly qualified electrical engineer. I'll be talking to him about this also. This is so new and so fresh. We have more questions, Doug, than we do answers.
Yep.
On one hand. On the other, the initial investigation I've done in these three locations tell me that this is real. It does work. And we have how many people listening and watching right now, Doug? 250,000, 500,000, 1,000,000 men and women? I don't know.
Six.
It's hundreds of six. Well, it's probably a 250,000 plus men and women. I want to encourage all of you that have a smartphone to do the same thing. Put that app on your phone. Find my Bluetooth device and do your own experimentation. You maybe have a friend or a relative who has had the clot shot, the COVID-19 vaccination, and they regret what they did. So they know they made a mistake. So you're not going to give them any more scary information. You're probably going to scared as hell anyway. So make an appointment to get together with them. Make sure they have no cell phone with them. Have them some distance from you, maybe 100 feet away from you. And nobody else is around. Maybe on a football field or in a park where you know there's nothing else around. And then walk slowly towards them and see if it picks up the Bluetooth signal.
Okay.
That's something that many people could do.
On a related note, I have an old style RF detector. And for those people who don't know what that is, if someone is concerned about maybe an audio device being planted in your building or whatever, in your office, this RF detector, it looks like kind of like almost like a walkie-talkie with a funky antenna on it. And you kind of sweep the area. And if there is something transmitting like a wireless microphone, it'll pick up this wireless microphone. So one thing I did do, and this is interesting because one person that regretfully had received the injection, and in fact I did this with my father-in-law before he passed away as well. He had no idea I was doing it, but I did pick up a signal being emitted, that is, using an RF detector. Now, again, these are older detectors, not necessarily as refined as picking up a Bluetooth on the people with the injections. Now, again, I just file that away as anecdotal, as, you know, hey, that's weird, but what do I do with it? Now you're telling me this. Now you're telling the public this. Now we've got to decide what, you know. And you know what, folks? I'm going to invite people. Email John Moore. Contact John Moore. John, where do people send me who can?
Well, my email address is at my website. Okay. That's thelibertyman.com. My email address is thelibertyman@aol.com.
Okay.
And sure, email me or call in on my show. My show is Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 Central Time, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time. And do your own experimentation. As a broadcast journalist, Doug, I have a responsibility to my listeners to get accurate, precise information out there. If I hadn't done these three experiments personally, I wouldn't be able to trust this and know that, my God, this actually works. But it does. My God, it actually works.
Wow.
You know, I was looking at some of the movies made the last 25 years, like Quarantine and Outbreak and things like that. As scary as those films are, they aren't this scary. You know, injecting human beings with a substance that turns them into a Bluetooth transmitter. Now, this is something that is not a side effect that was inadvertent. Something this high tech, something this sophisticated, could not possibly happen by mistake or as an inadvertent side effect of a vaccination of any kind. This was done with the highest level of technology that human beings can come up with at this point in time. I'm convinced of it, Doug. Well, very high technology.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think people should be surprised by this. When you've got Muppets like Yuval Noah Harari saying that we're all going to be hackable human beings, that they're hijacking they're taking our DNA, essentially. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but people get the idea. This unelected Frankensteinian kind of guy who's saying, we're going to make all human beings subject to this Internet of Things. Again, I'm paraphrasing. But that's the intent here. So could it very well be, and I suspect it is, that this jab juice is you know, maybe a phase one, if not phase two and three, of this hackable nature of humans. And I do suspect, if to me, anything that does transmit, and correct me, I mean, from your investigative experience, if you've got the ability to transmit, especially now in the digital age, generally speaking, there is a reception ability.
Well, Doug, I'm a licensed ham radio operator, have been since 1994. The ability to receive a transmission is much simpler and less complex than the ability to transmit. So we know that human beings have become Bluetooth transmitters. We know that, and I know it because I've done the testing. The level of technology, the level of sophistication tells me, as a ham operator for more than a quarter century, that of course, if the technology exists to turn a human being into a transmitter, which is more complex, more sophisticated than a receiver, well, of course, it can most likely also make the human being a receiver.
Yeah, what you said, exactly, yes.
Precisely. Now, the people behind us are malevolent. The people behind us have criminal intent. The people behind us are, in fact, part of a criminal conspiracy. A criminal conspiracy is two or more adults agreeing and cooperating to commit a crime. In this case, we're looking at probably several hundreds of adults in various positions in the three companies manufacturing COVID vaccines, in the CDC, in the FDA, possibly other places. Probably several hundreds of people who were willing and knowing participants, as opposed to people who didn't have a clue what was going on, which is several thousands of those involved as well. People did not have a clue what they were involved in. We need an independent judiciary. We need a commander in chief who is an honest patriot, which may or may not happen in 2 years. We don't know if we even have 2 years. Doug, this we've looked at since last July a 40% increase in working age men and women dying. That's an easily demonstrable, easily provable fact. It's not conjecture. The insurance companies have men and women called actuaries that work for them full time. The job of actuaries is to determine, in the case of insurance companies, who's going to get hurt in what numbers and what age groups, who's going to die in what numbers and what age groups. They base their business of charging a premium on the information that's provided by the actuaries. They, insurance companies have some of the best record keeping of who gets hurt, who doesn't, who dies, who doesn't die, who commits suicide, who gets in a car accident, their ages, their health. They have the most complete, most detailed records of anybody. And they're the ones providing us with the information, Doug, of the 40% increase in working age men and women, especially men and women between 18 and 40 years old, dying at a rate, at a 40% higher than normal rate. Your monologue at the beginning of the show is absolutely right on. And I encourage everybody to read the article in detail, maybe read it twice, that you provided. You might want to put another screen capture up there for that for people. Doug, we're in the middle of the worst crime in recorded human history right now, planet-wide, not just the United States, but planet-wide. The worst criminal conspiracy, the most number of murdered people, which will number in the tens of millions of people, men and women, boys and girls, who will not only die, but become disabled and become infertile. This is a genocide. There's no two ways about it. This is, in fact, a genocide. There's and you, no other word yeah. in the English language that comes close to describing this, Doug.
You have been yelling about this, and not yelling, but you've been alerting people to this since day one.
Doug, the spring of 2000, yep. I told people the vaccinations are in the refrigerators, ready to be distributed. That was before Operation Warp Speed was ever talked about publicly.
Now it's interesting. Okay, so there's two types. There's the FDA approved, in air quotes, that needs to be refrigerated in sub-zero environments, and then there's another refrigerated type, and they're different types. The FDA approved is never seen and has never been distributed anywhere in America. But try to tell your neighbor or your friend or your family member that. They're still using the EUA jab juice, which, not that it makes any difference, but it's just another one of the shell games by the government. You're absolutely right. And you're right that they did have all of this in stock prior to the release of this bioweapon.
Well, I do private consultations. I had two clients. They're both medical professionals. A nurse practitioner, which is the equivalent of a doctor, and a chiropractor, her husband. They had a client, a patient, who works for one of these three pharmaceutical companies manufacturing the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot, who revealed privately to them in confidence of their relationship that this company had worked for 6 years on the COVID-19 vaccination. Not 6 or 9 months, but 6 years. Now, the documents that the courts revealed and forced there's several dozen men and women going through these documents. They're going to find the same thing, that Pfizer was working on this vaccination long before the Wuhan virus came to this country, years before, many years before. This is a criminal conspiracy of the most serious kind, a genocide that will kill tens of millions of men, women, and children worldwide over the next several years. And it's already begun, Doug. It's already begun.
Okay, so how do you answer? Because this came up to me, too, in conversations. And by the way, my filter, you can ask Eric Deck, my filter is gone. Not that I had one to begin with, but not now my filter is gone. I don't care what I say to who I say it to. You could be the queen of friggin' England. I don't care, okay? But how do you explain to people who say, well, you know what? I got my vaccine and my six and boosters, and I'm not growing a third arm. I'm fine. Look at me. I'm the picture of health. What do you say to people like that?
Well, I say you're fortunate. I say you're lucky. I doubt that anybody would get the six boosters and still not have any adverse reactions. I'm not aware of anybody getting past the fourth one without having some serious issues.
Yeah, I threw that number out there. I don't know, but yeah.
Roger that. The facts speak for themselves. The VAERS reporting system, the reports coming from the U.S. military, health professionals, the health records kept by the U.S. military are some of the most detailed and accurate health records kept by any large organization. Now they're claiming that this very well documented database was corrupted a couple of years ago to make it look like what's going on now is just normal and just dandy, which of course it's not. So
that's a call for your consultation. And folks, by the way, thelibertyman.com, go there and make sure you, I love that the phones that talk to you. My refrigerator is talking to me now. Shut up. Okay. TheLibertyMan.com. That's the web presence of John Moore. There it is on your screen. You can actually watch him jump out of a perfectly good airplane and sail through the sky. Why? I don't know.
Doug, that's what real men with lots of testosterone do.
Well, I got testosterone. I'm a real guy.
We jump out of airplanes in the middle of the night, and we find the enemy, and we kill them.
Okay, I'm on board for the latter. Keep me on the ground and I'll be fine. But you know what? I at this point I don't care. Throw me out of a plane with a couple of chutes. I'll manage. But good.
The last combat jump that the U.S. Army did was in Vietnam. It wasn't really necessary, but the general, I think it was the 82nd Airborne, convinced the Pentagon to go ahead and do it. It may have been 101st. It was one of those two outfits. We still have parachute training all the time. The reason being, a man who will jump out of a parachute is demonstrating to himself and the men in his unit and to the Pentagon that he's an alpha male warrior, the fact that he's willing to do that. So that's the purpose served by that kind of training, is to separate the alpha male warriors from everybody else.
I'm waiting for the next scene on your website of you riding bareback on a black or brown bear.
Well, how about bareback on a tiger? That's my call sign in the Army, tiger.
I'll tell you what, you let me know. I'll sell tickets to that. And we can make some money.
Absolutely.
What are you, friends with Siegfried and Roy or anything? I don't know, but well, yeah, okay.
We shall see.
Yeah.
But I am wearing my tiger stripe uniform when I made that parachute jump, by the way.
Well, that's good. And I have to congratulate you, seriously, to be in the physical form, in the mental form for you to do that, which is why, folks, make sure you hit John up, thelibertyman.com, and make sure you, private consultations are the best. He'll tell you where the bear does his stuff in the woods and why he does it and why you need to pay attention. So that's thelibertyman.com. And, of course, support him and support all of his products as well. Good stuff. Good stuff as well. The energy cleaner. I got to tell you, the energy cleaner, good sticky man, you can tell. But I digress. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Doug, pretty much everybody who either wanted or was coerced into getting the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot has already got it. At this point, probably one, two, or even three boosters. There may be people now that's already got their fourth booster. There's many tens of thousands who regret getting the COVID-19 vaccination and maybe a booster. And like the example you gave, there's tens of thousands who so far, and that's the operative words, so far, have not had any observable, detectable adverse reactions. These are the people I want to talk to for a few minutes. If you're one of those people, please do not get any more boosters. Now, I have no medical qualifications at all, no scientific qualifications on one hand. On the other, Dr. Michael Yaden was a vice president at Pfizer and at one time in charge of medical research at Pfizer. He's the one saying exactly the same thing. Don't get the COVID vaccination. Do not get the boosters. Now, I'll put his credentials up against the credentials of any scientist or doctor on the planet. It's a pretty short list of men and women who get to the point where the director of medical research at Pfizer, a pretty short list, wouldn't you say, Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
The most impeccable, the most serious credentials in that area of virology that a human being could ever possibly have. So that's Dr. Mike Yaden. His videos and articles about what he says are at thelibertyman.com, along with a couple of hundred others from various doctors and scientists. But I always like to point out Dr. Michael Yaden, PhD. He's a Brit. You take one look at this guy, Doug, and you say to yourself, at least I did, yep, there's a guy who spent the last 40 years indoors without going outside very much at all. That's okay. That's who the man is. You don't get to be the director of medical research at Pfizer and a vice president at Pfizer unless you spend almost all your time indoors. That's pretty much the way it is. So my job and your job, Doug, right now, is to warn people, encourage people, do not get any more boosters. Do not do it. Encourage your friends and relatives and neighbors. Do not get any more boosters. You may just save a life. Just maybe. Possibly. Now, there's things we don't know about the COVID clot shots. Can there be delayed reactions that take place 6 months or a year or even later? Quite frankly, I don't know. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. On one hand. On the other, you can't be unvaccinated.
We know that monkeypox now is a thing, and Naomi Wolf, the documents themselves show that one adverse reaction to the injecticide is something very similar to monkeypox. So I can see them rolling out. In fact, they already have. And by the way, this is interesting too, about that injecticide stuff, the shot. The lactating mothers or the mothers who were pregnant or had babies after receiving the shot are unable to produce milk. And isn't it rather interesting that you've got four billionaires, including Bill Gates, Branson, I'm trying to think of who else, but there's four of them. They're named in the article, who started this company called BioMilk with a Q, that actually creates this fake baby's milk from mammary glands in a test tube, which it just sounds ridiculous. So again, that's absolutely unconscionable, because all of this, including the FDA closure of Abbott and then the FDA reluctance to reopen them and so on, is just, to me, although the formula itself to me is garbage. I think there's other alternatives for formula than that. But that aside, my question to you, getting back to it, is with the advent of monkeypox now, or maybe Marburg or Ebola or whatever the next pandemic is, they start rolling out shots, man. You're gonna want to stay away from them too, right? I mean,
Roger that.
Go ahead.
Well, it appears the monkeypox is something that happens to people who got the COVID vaccination, is what I'm
yes.
seeing and hearing.
Yes. Or those people who, by the way, another distinction important. If your spouse or your significant other, if your husband or wife had it and you're having, if you're doing the thing, you could actually get that transmitted to you, monkeypox, by close personal and even intimate contact. So when I say monkeypox, I'm talking about whatever that rash slash boil-like skin disruption might be. So just keep that in mind. Go ahead, sir.
Well, the world we live in is becoming more strange, more bizarre with each passing day, each passing week, with these diseases, the issues caused by the clot shot. There are so many aspects of this, Doug. For example, as the die-off continues, we're going to see a glut of real estate for sale. Men and women who own homes and own businesses are dying in unprecedented numbers. Of course, the real estate that they own will be coming up on the market for sale, which will cause a glut on the market and a collapse of the real estate market, I would say before the year is over, quite frankly. Same thing with all kinds of three-dimensional objects such as cars, boats, airplanes, jewelry, firearms, furniture. There's going to be a glut of all those kinds of items on the market because the people owning them will be dead. Now, that's coming also probably before this year is over.
Doug, how are they going to explain that away? I mean, well, seriously.
Look what they've done so far. We've had well more than 100 professional soccer players drop dead while in training or on the playing field playing a game. Mm-hmm. We had... what was that, a month ago, 16 world-class tennis professionals, some really top condition athletes, drop out of the competition in Florida. There's no precedence for that. The mainstream media is able to discard and cover up anything they choose to, leaving the alternative media, which may reach 5% of the population. I don't know what our outreach is, Doug, but... compared to the mainstream media, it's pretty small in general. So they're able to cover it up, and they will continue to keep covering it up, Doug, to keep people going to work and paying their 30-year mortgages. Because once it becomes public knowledge of the consequences of what's going on, there's going to be a lot of people, especially business owners who have made enough money to live on the rest of their lives, but they love what they do, running their business, no matter what it is, maybe a automobile body shop, for example, or a plumbing company or electrical contractor. They've made their money. They could live comfortably without working the rest of their life. Once they find out what's going on, these business owners who are financially set, are they going to keep going to work every day? Why would they do that? No, they're going to do what they need to do to protect themselves and the people they love. That's one reason of probably a number that the powers that be keep doing what they're doing and covering up this unprecedented die-off that's taking place. There'll be a point, Doug, where they can no longer cover it up. I don't know what that point is. I know locally, the Steelville Star newspaper I've got for about 20 years always had, it's a weekly publication, one page of obituary. Now it's routinely a page and a half, occasionally two full pages of obituaries.
Right.
Working age men and women who die from a heart attack, from a stroke, from a blood clot. That's happening all over the country. And I'm getting lots of confirmation from all over the country, Doug, that this is in fact what's taking place.
Now I do believe, and I just want to clarify this with you, for those listening, I do believe that the bioweapon that was released, known as SARS-CoV-2 or COVID, whatever you want to call it, I do believe that that has a built-in mortality factor. In other words, yes, people with comorbidities had a higher than average death rate, as one would expect from a type of pneumonic or pneumonia type flu. Okay. Now, having said that, one thing I've noticed about this more and more, and I'm hearing about this more and more, and the people who were infected, especially with the early version, if that's the correct word, of COVID, have lingering effects known as long COVID that include but are not limited to things like brain fog. And when they do a brain scan or MRI or CT scan of the brain, that they find this calcification or early onset of dementia. That's one thing. Then they find some other issues with the lung tissue. So I do believe that the bioweapon itself has these payload capabilities. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. We're dealing with men and women who are, first of all, have genius level IQs, number one. Number two, they're inquisitive, productive people. Number three, they have no morals or scruples whatsoever. They're completely comfortable with being part of a criminal conspiracy to murder tens of millions of people. That's who we're up against. Very bright people who have access to cutting edge technology that to me sounds like science fiction, but I now know it's not science fiction. It is science. Turning human beings into Bluetooth transmitters. Very likely turning human beings into Bluetooth receivers. Very possible that the people with the Bluetooth technology in their bloodstreams could be harmed or even killed if the right signal is sent to their body. It's off the charts crazy, off the charts insane, but it is reality. And I want to encourage people once again to get that app, put it on their phone, find my Bluetooth device.
All right.
And report,
you know what, report back to John Moore, or even me, and I'll forward it to John, your findings. And again, be conscious of the fact that, you know, you can't be or be aware that if somebody has a Bluetooth enabled smartphone or something like that, you might be picking up that. But try to
One thing I noticed, and it's subject to more, so I was at a restaurant when I had live music. The two musicians, they had a Bluetooth device as part of their musical presentation, and Find My Bluetooth device identified it as just that. It was easily recognized as being a Bluetooth device used by these musicians. The person that were at another location had a pacemaker. It was identified as being a health device.
A
health device implanted in the body. So this is, as I said earlier, this is a work in progress. We don't know all the details yet. We'll be getting feedback from various electronic engineers, healthcare professionals, as to what in the world does this mean. Can they hurt people? Don't know. Can they track people? Of course they can track people. The combination of the Bluetooth transmitter as part of your body and a smartphone means they'll know exactly who you are and where you are, assuming you have your smartphone with you and you're in a location that's connected to the telephone system.
And the World Economic Forum, that's what this was about this last time, and this mass rollout of digital IDs, which poses, by the way, one of the gravest risks to human rights of any technology that we've encountered to date. And I see this as the panopticon of this digital surveillance age, including but not limited to what you mentioned. So they're very interesting. Digital IDs and this kind of stuff is not compatible with a representative republic or a free society by any stretch of the imagination. And you're absolutely right. So please, folks, let's help out on this experiment and group source this experiment and see what comes of it.
I know what's going to come, Doug, is more confirmation.
Yeah, I suspect that to be the case.
That's, you know, the three places I went to me was clear and convincing evidence. And I'll be doing this as I go about my routine to the post office and the various stores and so forth. I'll clear the telephone first before I go in there, clear the app, the Find My Bluetooth device app. So then when I walk in, I start with a fresh page and just see what I find. It's going to be scary.
This will work good on a beach, too, if you're far enough away from because if you go toward the water with that, it'll work really well on a beach. Just saying,
most likely
it'll limit the it'll limit your interference from other devices.
Well, if you're at an uncrowded beach,
yeah,
where you walk past a couple of people, then 100 feet down, walk past another couple, you could see the alphanumeric code pop up as you walk past these people on the beach, or not pop up in the case of those who don't have the COVID clot shot. Another fascinating experiment, right, Doug?
Indeed. And I think one has to ask themselves to what end, and I think you already have, to what end is this going to prevent, you either get this shot or you're out of society, and we've seen that pretty much happen. But
I can see people going to their doctor and saying, "Doc, what in the world's going on here? You didn't tell me I would become a Bluetooth transmitter when you encouraged me to get this COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. You didn't tell me at all that I personally would become a Bluetooth transmitter." I can see some heated arguments coming out of that, Doug, can't you?
I see heated arguments for a hell of a lot less than that, but yes, I do. And of course, the doctor's saying, "Well, you're full of it," and no matter what evidence you present, it'll be denied.
Well, it won't necessarily be dismissed out of hand by all doctors.
I hope not.
Well, I know several ethical doctors who won't do that. I'll be talking to one of them before the day's over and encourage him to get the app and just keep it in his office on a cell phone, so that he can kind of keep track of the people who got the clot shot and the alphanumeric code that goes along with that individual.
Sounds good. Now, I know I chewed up a lot of your time at the beginning. We have about 3.5 minutes left of the show, which is always incredible. TheLibertyMan.com, that's John's website, TheLibertyMan.com. John, I'm going to turn the last few minutes over to you.
Well, thank you, Doug. My show is Monday through Friday at Republic Broadcasting Network. Everything is linked. The live show is linked. All the archives are linked at my website at TheLibertyMan.com. Just put it right in your browser. Do not use a search engine. Just put it right in your browser, TheLibertyMan.com. And you can see me. There's some photographs of me at the top of my homepage. There's a video quite a bit down there of me making a parachute jump. And people like my website. They like it the way it's quick and easy to navigate.
It is.
That just happened a couple of weeks ago. And there's a lot there, information that can literally save your life, Doug, literally save
yes.
your life.
Yeah, I'm very keen. In fact, I use your show, your web page as show prep as well. I check that every day. And folks, bookmark thelibertyman.com. And as I said, support John Moore. And don't forget, he's available for private consultations. Take advantage of that. The guy knows a lot of stuff. I can't speak higher than that about him. I mean, he really knows a lot of stuff. And so what's on tap for your show this week? What you got going? What you got going?
Well, we got the regular guests. Tomorrow we'll have the Tuesday morning roundtable with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist, who's authored 6 books on international communism, and Steve Ben Noon, who was a CIA field agent. Wednesday, we'll have Professor McCanny and Jeff Nyquist back for his own private hour. Thursday, we'll have Dr. Horowitz, who's authored, I don't know how many books, maybe a dozen or more. He has about 25 or more websites. Very interesting guy, always very insightful. My friend Tom Berryhill will be with us Friday, talking about emergency survival communications. Possibly one of the doctors I work with. So it's a full week, Doug, of interesting, very knowledgeable guests. I should mention Professor McCanny has also authored about 12, 13 books. He taught mathematics at Cornell University. He taught astrophysics at Cornell University. He's a very good friend. So that's the weekly roundup for the Liberty Man.
Sounds good.
Public broadcasting.
I'm going to be tuned in, folks, as you should as well. And you can also go to thelibertyman.com and drill down, click on the link to the show and drill down through there into the archives of anything you missed. And I have to say, I did play a little bit of Jeff Nyquist in the recent webinar he did, which I thought was just a fabulous webinar that he did with a couple of other individuals, Frank Gaffney being one of them. So very good lineup for the Liberty Man radio show.
Thank you, Doug. It's always good to be with you. Look forward to next Monday.
Indeed. No holiday next Monday, so we'll see you then.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
That's right.
All right, folks, that'll do it for me. I want just to wish everyone a great night. Remember, folks, if you know any computer forensic court certified forensic entity, Doug at HagmanReport.com. Two ends on Hagman. All right. Good night.